You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you're in Appleton and Oshkosh, listening on WISS, in Eau Claire, listening on 93.5 The Tap, or in Hayward, listening on WBZH, we are certainly glad that you decided to join us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. You can always jump in at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you miss any of the program, don't forget to go to Spotify. Subscribe to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie and get all the podcasts. Maybe you missed our interview with Andrew Mansky, who is a Republican candidate for governor. Maybe you missed that and you want to go back and find it. All the podcasts are there on Spotify, so go check those out. It is just after 8 o'clock, and that means it's time for Stuff You Need to Know. I almost said it.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Because pretty soon, everybody's disobeying the law. The FCC is just,
it's gonna be fine.
You know, yeah, we're going to be
Get the
fine.
Dump button
pretty
ready,
soon, I'll
Parker.
I'll be fine for not saying it.
It's so That's early what in the segment. Be. We don't have it. We can't. Don't say it.
One. They'll be like, why are they being so woke? Just say the word. All right, sir.
There are still violations and things.
Well,
are there?
They're so busy trying to get rid of Colbert. You think they care if a guy in Wisconsin says
the
S word?
And the View. They're also trying to get rid of the View.
Oh, they, again, they're trying to get rid of the View?
Yeah.
Oh. Get rid of everybody.
That's right.
Everybody. No, there shall be no dissension. Anyone with an opposite view will be flogged. Parker probably wants to flog everybody from Baylor because Baylor outran, outstressed, and outpitched Wisconsin early in the Badgers' season-ending 5-2 loss on Saturday in the Austin Regional of the NCAA softball tournament. Oh, Wisconsin scored first. Hillary Blomberg had a solo home run in the first inning that gave the Verona native sole possession of the UW single-season home run record with 16. Congratulations, Hillary. But that lead was short-lived, Parker. Baylor answered with a four-run bottom of the first inning, in part thanks to some shrewd base running. Oh, you can never out. You got to respect shrewd base running and a small ball. The first run came as Samaya Jones stole second base. Brooklyn Carter stole home on the throw. That's always fun to watch. Baylor then loaded the bases and scored on an RBI single. So the Bears loaded the bases again. Oh, man, Wisconsin, what happened to your pitching? Then they walked her, somebody in the fifth. UW started pitcher Barrett Herr. She stopped the bleeding at that point. Okay. And reliever Kendra Lewis worked out of a bases-loaded jam in the third. The Badgers had opportunities to come back. Frank sent us a headline saying they had won. That was because the season-ending outcome was one day after Wisconsin had beaten them, had beaten Baylor in the first round of the Austin Regional. In that game, Hannah Conger hit a walk-off double. Wisconsin ends its 2026 season with a 33-21 record. Not too shabby. The UW's back-to-back 30-plus win seasons in 25 and 26 were the first for the Badgers since 2011-2014. So good for you. Sorry it ended so soon, Lady Badgers. But
that sounds
we don't call them Lady Badgers anymore, do we?
That sounds
Badger softball.
That sounds as dramatic as the White Sox Cubs game yesterday. And yes, I'm bringing it back
Jamie,
up for your pain, Frank.
Bring it back up, thank you. It is, I'm on cloud nine today, not just because of the win, but because of Frank's angst. That's because we established last week, Jamie, that Frank is fueled by hate.
Yes,
and so.
Again,
now,
we'd established that the week before.
There's always more.
All
right. All right.
All last week it was save me the first segment. Save me the first segment.
He just texted the show chat telling us we all suck. So
see, yeah. He hates us.
But we suck in first place,
That's
Frank.
Right.
More stuff you need to know.
All right. In other news, a proposal to fund $1 billion in security additions for the White House campus and the president's new ballroom failed to meet procedural rules, according to the Senate parliamentarian, dealing a blow to Republican plans to include it as part of a bill to fund immigration enforcement agencies for the next 3 years. The parliamentarian's ruling, described late Saturday by Senate Democrats, said that funding for a project as large and complex as President Trump's massive East Wing renovation is too broad to be included in this narrow GOP budget bill, which cannot be filibustered and only needs a simple majority to pass. The filibuster was a large part of the Wisconsin GOP convention, by the way, this weekend. Ron Johnson making it clear that it needs to be completely undone before the Democrats come back into power. I digress.
All those pesky Democrats.
I digress. Now, at this point, it is unclear if Republicans will be able to immediately salvage any part of this billion-dollar Secret Service proposal, which would fund security for Trump's ballroom along with other parts of the White House, including a new visitor screening center, additional training for agents, and extra reinforcements for large events. Republicans said Saturday night that they are revisiting the legislation based on the parliamentarian's advice. Spokesman for Senate Majority Leader John Thune wrote in a post on X that, quote, none of this is abnormal during the complicated budget process that Republicans are using to try to pass the immigration enforcement and White House security money on a partisan basis. Democrats have seized on the security request, accusing Republicans of dedicating precious federal resources to the ballroom effort instead of focusing on helping Americans with rising costs. Republicans have insisted that private donations will be used to build the ballroom and that the federal dollars are focused on much-needed security enhancements. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer took credit for the ruling after Democrats argued to the parliamentarian that the security money doesn't belong in the bill. The ruling from the Senate parliamentarian is just advisory, but such rulings are rarely, if ever, ignored. Okay. When lawmakers put together legislation that can pass with a simple majority, most bills are subject to a filibuster and thus need 60 votes for passage, meaning Republicans must find some Democrat support in the 53-47 Senate. And of course, we know that this GOP doesn't really care about the rules or regulations and pretty much proceed however they want.
Can we stop with the lie that it's all going to be privately funded?
We
know that's not true.
It's
not. We know we wouldn't need all these extra security measures. We already have a bunker. There's already Secret Service. Even if you want to make a screening section a little better, which, okay, that's fine. That's not $1 billion. You don't need a second bunker under this ballroom. We didn't need the ballroom. Nobody wanted the ballroom. It's a non-starter. But they keep using the same talking points, and it's tiresome, quite frankly. It's like, no, we know. If you're asking for $1 billion, it's not being funded by private donation.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
This is another vanity project.
It's going to be done, a lot of this, through taxpayer money. And here's the same thing. The government at this stage obviously does not have the same priorities that you and I do, because they would know that the rising costs are most people's main priorities at this point, not a billion-dollar security effort in a ballroom that basically isn't really needed. I mean, there still is
no
reason.
Basically, 100% isn't needed.
There isn't a purpose for this ballroom other than the fact that this administration wants to create a version of the president's private home at the White House.
Yes.
And now we've taken a historic building that you and I own, because taxpayer-owned building, because it's the White House, and we've destroyed it without any sort of congressional support, votes, anything, and now we're asking us, to support a building that we've already been supporting for many, many years, and this is where we're at in this particular loop of events.
It's $1 billion for this. It's $1,776,000,000 for this slush fund deal. It's just more money rolling in for these vanity projects, and that's really all it is. It's a guy with a really fragile ego who is putting up golden statues of himself, erecting arches, repainting the reflecting pool, gilding the White House in tacky gold lame. The whole thing is creating a kingdom, and he is being allowed to do that. But this is This is nuts. It's our money, folks. It's
the folks in Washington work for us. They work for us.
Well, do they?
Yes.
On paper, I know they're supposed to, Jamie. Do you feel like they work for you? I honestly don't.
I haven't in quite some time.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, they do still work for us.
Yeah, but
that like, we don't need to vote them in. Somebody
we can technically fire them at election time. But if you or I are doing as poor a job as Congress would be doing, they're not going to give us 6 years to vote us out of the Senate.
And
they're
a lifetime give us appointment, essentially.
Right. Exactly. We are, you and I and everybody else, if we're doing a horrible job, we're ousted right then.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, yes, they technically they work for us. They don't. Technically, we can fire them. Yeah, but it's going to take a long time. And a lot of these guys, they never get fired.
Right.
No matter how awful they are, they never get fired.
Then it's time to buckle up, folks, and get ready for the midterms, because there's some really great candidates and there's a lot of lifelong congressional members that are being primaried.
I mean, we saw it over the weekend.
Yeah. It's time to buckle up, and it's time to decide whether we want this government to actually work for the people, which are us, who are paying for things like this ballroom, or if we want this government to continue to function as it is. And I don't know. I'm not done with this experiment called the United States and democracy yet. I don't think we've fully seen what it's capable of. I'm not ready for it to be over. So
I'm not either, but it really seems like it's on its way out, and we're just along for the ride. We're just watching it happen. And I don't know what drastic measures it's going to take other than a huge turnout at the polls. That's it. That's our only recourse.
Well, hopefully
is to get everybody out.
Hopefully people are getting upset enough, even with everything we're seeing with the Supreme Court rulings on the Voting Rights Act, the gerrymandering, because none of these states want gerrymandering. That's it. A lot of these states have already said, no, we don't want this, which is where this is coming from, right? Because these state governments that are like, well, they don't possibly know what they want. Yes, they actually do. They've told you they don't want this. They voted against it, yet you're going against the will of the people.
Because the orange one wants it. And what the orange one wants, the orange one gets. Last thing, real quick, a new lawsuit from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin argues allowing clerks to decide whether or not to offer absentee voters a chance to correct information on their mail-in ballots violates the state constitution. The group is asking a Dane County judge to order a uniform and mandatory process for addressing defective ballots and notifying those who mail them. The suit was filed Tuesday in Dane County Circuit Court. It claims giving local clerks the discretion to create their own procedures for telling voters about how to fix missing or incomplete information on absentee ballot envelopes violates state due process provision. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin argues that because clerks in some communities can decide not to notify voters who then won't know their ballots weren't counted until after the election. Oh, that sounds sus.
Wisconsin doesn't have a statewide rule on this. There's a statute.
We need one.
6.87, but there's no clear statewide rule. So clerks can essentially decide to do whatever they want to do. So that's not cohesive. Man. That's not consistent. Which
clerks
I think
work
is
for us too. Don't
which
they?
I think is what the League of Women Voters is trying to say. It's about integrity. Let's have a cohesive rule for everybody that we all have to follow.
Integrity is a big word, and a lot of people not only can't pronounce it, they don't understand it. We'll be back. Oh, AI is coming to Wisconsin.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
8:22 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your Monday. Warm and humid across much of the state with a chance for some severe weather as well. So please stay weather alert throughout today. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. How do you get a hold of us? Well, it's easy, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you call in, be sure you're nice to Parker because he's working hard there and he's the one who, he is our gatekeeper. If you're not nice to him, you don't get to us. That's how it works. We were talking, or Jimmy, you brought up how dry it is up in the north.
Northwest part
of the state. Things are very bad. Yesterday I saw they had put out another fire ban. There are no burn permits for the weekend. So things are rough up there, even though, as Jamie mentioned, we're having potential for big storms across the middle of the state, just like where the blizzards came and the floods came and the center of the state. This time it's going on kind of an angle.
Yeah.
But for all our worries about AI, and they are many and they are legitimate, this sounds like a really good use of AI. Xcel Energy is introducing AI-powered wildfire detection cameras across Wisconsin to improve early fire detection and protect communities, forests, and power infrastructure. The technology comes from Pano AI. It combines high-definition cameras, artificial intelligence, and satellite data for continuous monitoring. That sounds much better than raking the forests.
I think this might actually
more effective.
Work. What I love about this is I always say that if AI is used for the right purposes, I can get totally behind it. It's when it falls into the wrong hands and is being used for the wrong purposes. I feel like this is a really great use of AI. 9 cameras are already installed across northwestern Wisconsin, including in Hayward, Lock Spooner, Toma, Birchwood, Cumberland, Mercer, Southwind Lake, and Manitowash Waters. And I think this is fascinating because I don't know if everybody knows this, but there's already been nearly 500 wildfires already this year. About half of those started by something as simple as burning debris.
Right.
Because, you know, we like to do that around here. And when you have conditions and red flag warnings like they do across multiple counties right now, and they're suspending these burn permits, not exactly the best use of your time to be out burning debris.
No, stop just burning things willy-nilly. I love a good campfire. Hold on. I'm about to sneeze. Jamie, you can talk.
Okay. All right. So I think Brian was going to say how much he loved a good campfire, but we have to be a little bit careful. Now, each of these cameras performs a 360-degree scan every minute using AI to detect smoke and then alert human analysts who verify the threat before notifying any of those emergency responders. And the system can triangulate the exact location of a fire and then send real-time alerts to local fire departments and dispatch centers, which I think is really cool because that then essentially means that you're going to get to potentially the source before it has a chance to spread like what we saw last year in that particular area, because that got that. I mean, you know, when we were talking wildfires last year in northern Minnesota. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's scary.
Well, that's it. And the Canada ones, we've all had to breathe the smoke from the smoke of a distant fire. We've all had it come at us. But and that's why we think of them as far away, West Coast. You know, a lot of California wildfires are way north in Canada. But officials are saying they're getting more and more common in Wisconsin because of the changing weather conditions, drier environments like we're seeing up in the North Woods, all of that. So I like this. And it can also be used for severe weather, which we know we get here in Wisconsin a lot. So it can help judge what's going on, and it's part of a wider program. They're going to use it for deforestation, which is basically raking the woods. So maybe the president was right after all. This is why, I don't know if you saw, there were a number of commencement addresses over the last week where pro-AI people were being booed roundly by the graduates because basically, they were telling them AI was going to take over their jobs and they had nothing to live for.
An uplifting speech at a commencement
ceremony. Yeah, that's great. Hey, glad you paid all that money. You know, a machine's going to take your job. But to your point, AI, if used as the tool it was created for, can do some amazing things. And I think this is an amazing thing when you think of just the cost of what is lost from a fire, even if it's not in a area where you're losing structures and you're affecting people's homes and businesses, the loss of that land is immeasurable. because it, how long it will take to replace, what it means as far as erosion, what it means as far as on the West Coast, I was around mudslides and all that kind of thing. So it's a wide-ranging problem, and I'd be interested to now, as it goes forward, see how it works.
Yeah.
And it also is going to just, as you said, reply in real time or respond in real time. You get people on it, fighting it before it has a chance to spread more than it does now, when we're not sure where it started, where it's going, if it's even happening, till it's out of control.
I mean, and I think that's just the thing, too. When you look at, you know, anytime you're dealing with destruction, like what these wildfires can cause, it's always catastrophic. But when you look at towns in Wisconsin who primarily exist in some locations because of the outdoor space.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing I think about. We're talking about, you know, livelihoods. We're talking about tourism. We're talking about full community economies when these wildfires get too devastating. And so I think the fact that this is a system that allows DNR and fire services to be more proactive is really good, because this isn't a reaction to damage that's already done. This is the potential chance to prevent it before it even starts. And what I also appreciate about this is, as I know, we haven't been huge fans of a lot of our electric companies over this last year because of data centers and things like that. But Xcel actually plans to expand the system by the end of 2026. And really focus on areas with higher wildlife risks near power lines as well. So good stuff.
That's not bad. After the news, does the separation of church and state still matter to you? We will talk about that and more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 8:29 right now, and this is the Civic Media Network.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:35 right now. We hope that you are having a great Monday morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Our number, 855-75-CIVIC. We want to know if the separation of church and state still matters to you. And if so, why? And if not, why not? And it's becoming more and more necessary. It's something we all just seem to have taken for granted before. If you were religious, that was cool. If you weren't religious, that was cool. You, whatever religion you were, go on about your business. The government had no say in it. Well, that has changed. We've talked about the rise of Christian nationalism on this program. We see it all the time with this administration, not just the president, but Pete Hegseth and others, wrapping themselves in the cloak of Christianity to try to further their views and make people, Christian evangelicals, just believe that they are, and some have actually said that they are a gift from, they were sent by God to rescue us. Well, yesterday, another step toward that nationalism of not religion, but one particular religion, took another step. There was an all-day prayer event on the National Mall yesterday. It was backed by the White House through a mix of taxpayer funds and private donations. And I will be honest, I don't want my money going to pay for some big religious hootenanny. I don't need a religious rave going on. I don't want to pay for it. It's the most recent flashpoint in the Trump administration's blurring separation of church and state. The event was dubbed Rededicate 250. A national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. It's part of a series of celebrations commemorating America's 250th birthday and is expected to feature video messages from the president and other members of the cabinet. Mike Johnson also delivered remarks yesterday. It brought together faith leaders, public officials, and musicians to reflect and worship ahead of the anniversary of the nation's founding. And this nation was founded with a clear separation of church and state. But I quibble with the details.
Something in the Constitution, I believe, about a separation of church and state. But, you know, hey.
Why do I worry, though, Jamie? What does it matter? Let's be honest.
I kind of wish I had such a strong opinion of myself that I believed that I had been sent down to this world for some higher purpose. Like, who goes around thinking that about themselves?
Well, I mean, we all believe we have a purpose.
Sure.
I don't believe I am a gift from God.
I'm not an anointed one. Right. I don't believe
I'm like
I've
one of the trials
it.
That Job had to go through. Right. That's what the people. If you survive me, you are one step closer to peace.
Right.
But this is, again, it's a Judeo-Christian ethos. It yeah. is not, even though there were a couple conservative Catholic bishops there. There was one Orthodox rabbi, but it was evangelical Christians. They believe, they are arrogant enough to believe that theirs is the only religion, that theirs religion should not only be practiced, which, fine, yes, if that is your faith, go ahead and practice it. But how dare you have the arrogance to try to push that on everybody else? Because there are fine people, to paraphrase, and using it in a more flattering way, in a more truthful way than the president once did, there are fine people on all sides yes. of religions. There are fine people who have no interest in religion, whether they're atheist or agnostic. Fine people who live wonderful lives of service and have no concept of the man in the sky.
Right. I mean, you know, the separation of church and state, as we mentioned, is baked into the foundation of this country. And it's literally there to make sure that the government doesn't favor one religion over another or a religion over no religion absolutely at all. I mean, let's be realistic. This country was founded on a persecution of differences in religion and views and government. So at its core, it essentially protects something super fundamental, which is religious freedom for everyone. So when the government yes. stays neutral, it ensures that no single group can actually dictate the law, no minority belief gets pushed aside, and that every person has the freedom to practice or not practice, if that's what they choose, religion without any sort of pressure or coercion. Have we ever seen a moment in this nation's history, modern history, where we've had our federal government basically hosting events like this for the nation?
No. Does this concern you? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Something's going on with the phone line, so just text if you want to get involved in the program. We'd love to, we'll share your text with everybody. It's supposed to be, this Freedom 250 is supposed to be a nonprofit subsidiary of the National Park Foundation.
Yes.
Now, I don't know, despite it being on national park property, I don't know how much the national park is actually behind this. Somehow I have a feeling. Now, they're doing 250, but they're doing, you know, celebrations like fireworks and things like that, you know, all American stuff where we
sure.
blow things up. This is, to your point, I don't remember, there's no national religious observance. I mean, you could argue the lighting of the Christmas tree, but that's the Christmas tree, you could also argue, is a secular symbol of Christmas and blah, blah, blah. And the White House does put out a menorah, and they put mm-hmm. out a Christmas tree, and they put out things for representing all, in the past.
Yes.
In the past. Put out all religions. And city halls have either decided they're going to put out all matter of religious symbolism for holidays, or they're going to put none. And I would argue putting none is better than ignoring some. But this is a pure move for this Christianity. And I have to go back, and I know this has been argued from the time he came down that golden elevator. This is a man who does not seem to practice or embody any Christian values.
No.
At all. Avarice, greed, gluttony. He's all of the deadly sins. He's an admitted adulterer. He is a convicted sexual offender. He has been a failure at business. He has disenfranchised the needy. He has mocked the handicapped. How is this anything near Christian? If you're a Christian, where does the label come from that this man was sent by God? He's erected false idols of himself.
This is the part of this, and I know a couple of weeks ago we had a gentleman on who joined us to talk about the Christian nationalism, and I really think we need to have him back at some point again as well, because this is what he talked about, and you can listen to that show over at civicmedia.us.
Or better yet, on Spotify.
That's right. And he talked about the fact that it's seen as a strength. And that's what they see in this president. They don't really care about the means of how they get there. They care about the strength that it exudes. And
but
I
those
guess,
used to be considered weaknesses of character.
Yes.
All and, those things and, I listed. Those were not considered
and
strengths.
I don't know when this flipped. And I know a lot of people who are really strong in their faith. And I believe that faith is a much different thing than religion. Because 100%. You can be spiritual and you can have faith, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have religion. And it also means that you are compassionate. I think when you practice faith and spirituality, I think that's where we've convoluted this line. And there's I don't really understand where we drew this line and when we actually drew it and when it was okay, because I know several people who are very religious who at one point in time would have never been able to consider this president as somebody that they applauded, that they aligned with. And now all of a sudden they think that his ideas and the things that he says are the best ideas they've ever heard. And I really, and these are personal, these are friends or used to be. We've grown so distinctly different in our viewpoints that I can't communicate with them. And I don't know when that happened. There had to be some sort of line. And I think a lot of us have seen that. I think a lot of us in our lives have had those people who have taken a distinct turn at some point, and I don't know when it happened. And I don't know if we'll ever get back to the point where we don't politicize religion.
It's gotten to the point, well, first of all, to your point, religion is a man-made construct. Faith is something else. Religion, because every religion believes they're the only one, they have the true word and blah, blah, blah. That is another form of tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
But this, what should really worry you if you are Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, Baptist, anything other than evangelical Christian, they're coming for us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want your religion. They want to rule with their religion, and their religion will soon be intertwined with every law. They've tried to do it for years, the moral majority and all of these political action committees that are nothing but extreme religious sects that are trying to influence policy. And if this continues and this is allowed to continue, that's where we're headed. One religion, all the rest need not apply, and all our laws will be based in some sort of whatever kind of faith they believe. Cindy in Appleton texts in phony Christians, and that's now I'm not talking rank and file Christians.
Sure.
You know who I'm talking about. I'm mm-hmm. talking about these people who for political, financial, and power gains, wrap themselves just like they do in the flag. They wrap themselves in Christianity and try to pass themselves off as legitimate, caring Christians.
I mean, that was the whole reason, again, that this country was founded, to do away with that, with one type of religion. And it was there. Obviously, there was more to it than that, but that was the main reason why people from England started coming to this country.
Yes.
Is to show that they could live a different way, and they didn't need to basically endure those tyrannical rules of religion, right? And so the fact that people are okay with going right back to that sort of thinking is really unfathomable to me. And is it because there's a fear of the way the world is changing? Is it a fear that they think they're going to be left behind? I mean, those are the questions that always come to my mind. Julian Wausau chiming in this morning in text says, I grew up in a very conservative church. I found that the loudest Christians are the biggest hypocrites. And I, you know.
Yeah,
and,
that's always, yeah. That's usually the way they're screaming and yelling. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about whether this was even constitutional. So sure. CNN talked to a few experts. A professor at Northwestern University said the event is permitted because no court issued an injunction to stop it, but that is contrary to the fundamental purposes of the Constitution. This kind of divisive embrace of a particular religion and trying to associate the incumbent administration with that religion is bad for religion, bad for government, bad for America. Another man who specializes in religion and law at the University of Texas said he believes the event is, quote, flagrantly unconstitutional. He said it's unconstitutional because it is explicit government promotion of religion, and not just religion in general, but a fairly certain version of one particular religion. And then there was a professor of law and religion at Villanova who argued there can be an intersection of religious faith and public on the public square, noting the prayers at open sessions of Congress, blah, blah, blah. He said, I think it's the kind of overemphasizing the idea of separation to think an event like this raises constitutional problems. When we come back, what discontinued product do you still miss? It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, you? All right, well, I just wanted the jingle at the end. We're going to, but I don't want to give Schlitz an entire one-minute commercial. but this is, welcome back. Sorry, Parker, I thought I gave you the timestamp on that. But,
oh,
yeah, this is the whole commercial.
But it's so catchy.
Anyway, that's the Schlitz. Yeah, that's part of the Schlitz thing. You know Schlitz, the beer that made Milwaukee famous, the beer with gusto. If you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer, the whole deal. Well, I'm not going to bury the lead, Jamie. Schlitz is going away.
Yes, I heard. And this is actually sad.
Very sad.
It is sad because, I mean, this is a Milwaukee staple from back in 1849 when the company was founded, which is crazy.
So before we give you the postmortem on Schlitz, is there a discontinued product that you still miss? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Yes, Jimmy, as you mentioned, Schlitz has been around for basically forever. Mm-hmm. It was founded in it's been a Milwaukee staple since 1849. It was bought by Pabst in 1999. The original Schlitz rolled into Minnesota and then the Dakotas in the late 1800s. So, your relatives, your great-great-grandparents,
yes.
Jamie, were probably slamming Schlitz
somewhere
out on the prairies.
Probably.
So, that's, you know. So, up in Minneapolis served as one of the primary cities for the rebrand in 800. We probably all remember Schlitz Malt Liquor, the Bull, the Billy D. Williams commercials, all of that. But Schlitz, the beer that made Milwaukee famous, is going away. And that's something, now I understand marketing trends and sales and all of this, but Milwaukee's identity is around beer, you know, as Wisconsin's is. And so to see an iconic brand go away like that is a little bit sad.
It is.
So they're going to send it off with dignity and respect, according to Schlitz. It's hard to find even in Milwaukee. If you go, I don't know anybody who drinks Schlitz. Parker, you drink a lot of Schlitz at the frat parties?
I'm not sure if I've ever had Schlitz. Maybe once.
Yeah, I haven't had Schlitz in its decades is a conservative thing. If it was around and it was all that was there, I was drinking Schlitz. But I know there's a lot of folks who were very dedicated because beer is a brand loyal kind of thing, or it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have it to send the Milwaukee icon off. According to the Milwaukee Brewing Company, they will brew a final 80 barrel batch of Schlitz on May 23rd at its Verona Brewery. Then they'll give a talk about the brand at 1 p.m. Now, Frank says he drinks Schlitz on tap at Simon's Tavern in Chicago. $6 cash. All right.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
A good reason to drink Schlitz. $6. You can't beat that. So they say that Schlitz, as I mentioned, deserves to go out with dignity and respect. They were going to have their, you can pre-order your Schlitz if you want to do that. It opens Saturday. Saturday is when the pre-orders open. Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be available on June 27th. The same day they're going to hold a public event celebrating the brand, a Schlitz funeral.
That's a little sad, though, right? Because it also had so many references in some of those iconic TV shows. Like, I think of Laverne and Shirley. They always made references back to Schlitz beer. You know, Happy Days was also another one that made reference to Schlitz beer periodically. So I think there's a little bit of, adoration for Schlitz. And
It's a name that we in beer pantheon should be remembered. It goes back to those days of there was Schlitz, there was Old Milwaukee, there was Hams, Old Style.
Yep.
And, you know, Old Style became huge in the Chicago market. It was big everywhere. But then there were certain, like Schlitz was Milwaukee and Old Milwaukee was Old Milwaukee. And then you go to like Pittsburgh and it's Steel City.
Yes.
And those are the kind of brands that helped identify a town. When a town and a brand are that intertwined, it makes it a little sadder. Like there's this chain that used to be around the Chicago area, Cock Robin, and it was ice cream and they made the best steamed hamburgers. And I still drive by where those places used to be in their parking lots now or something else. And I do miss those because they were intertwined for me with parts of my
heritage.
My life being here in Chicago.
And tradition. So is there besides the Schlitz beer, is there one product for you that has gone away that you're like, oh God, I really, really miss that?
I was thinking about that a lot. And as far as local products, not really. This is sad, but I still miss... Captain Crunch is still around, but they changed it.
Oh,
so I miss the old Captain Crunch.
Hostess cupcakes, too. They're not like what they used to be.
All of that, when they retooled all that and tried to
gross.
Make them healthier, they can't. They're just chemical bombs. Let us eat them.
Yeah.
We're just going to enjoy ourselves. Let us just enjoy ourselves a little bit. How about you?
I had to think about this one. I was a child of the 80s and 90s. So for me, it's things like the video rental stores, you know, like when you used to be able to
like
go in and
rent. Blockbuster or a family video place.
MTV's original format. Also, where it was like where you tune in and it was always music videos, that's one that I will forever miss because those were like mini movies. Even if the song sucked, the video could be really good and it would like elevate that song to the top of the charts. And then for me, it was a lot of toys like pogo balls. I don't know how many people remember these. They were like part pogo stick and part rubber ball. You had to be able to balance and coordinate on them. And you also needed a whole hell of a lot of luck so you didn't fall.
Oh, like the hip hop? The hippity hops or whatever. It was a ball with a handle on it.
No, it didn't have a handle.
About?
They didn't have a handle.
Oh, you're talking about
the... You had to like stand on these things and balance and then jump up and down. You didn't have a handle or anything.
Like a circus animal?
Kind of, yes.
I think that was just your family trying to get you to hurt yourself.
No, they were a thing.
Well, on this ball,
They eventually got discontinued because so many kids were getting hurt on playgrounds.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why I miss jarts, too. The original metal-tipped jarts. I love those.
No, Parker. There was no handle. It's that upper... Yeah, like right there. You're showing me photos.
Oh, see, the one with the handle I had, the bouncy ball with the handle, that would have been fine.
These didn't have handles.
All right, listen. We're going to go have a Schlitz, because if we're out of Schlitz, we're out of beer, and we're out of time.
We are.
We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.